Hello, and welcome to the second story in our campfire series. Are you ready to go? In this story, we're going to go way back. Way, way back. When the world was young and people were just taking their first footsteps in the world. Chogan and his grandmother were deep in the forest, gathering wood for camp, when they came to an old buffalo skull. It was in a grove of trees near the river, and as they approached, two mice scampered into it to hide. Well, there was thunder in the air, and Chogan, feeling like mischief, got hold of a stick and was about to turn the skull over and kill the mice. But his grandmother said, "No, Chogan, put down your stick. Our people never kill mice. Your grandfather will tell you why if you ask him. The mice folk are our friends, and we treat them as such. Even small people can be good friends and are part of our family, you know. Remember that." For the rest of the day, Chogan wondered why the mice folk should not be harmed. And just as it was getting dark, he walked to his grandfather's lodge. On the way, he turned over in his mind what grandmother had said. It made no sense to him. How could mice be our friends and family? He poked his head in at the door and saw the other boys and girls already there, seated in a circle around grandfather, because he liked to tell bedtime stories to the children of the village. Almost before Chogan sat himself down, the question burst from him like the peeping of a frog in spring. "Grandfather, why must we never kill the mice folk? Grandmother said that you knew." "Yes," replied Grandfather, "I do know, and you should know. Therefore, I shall tell you all tonight why the mice folk must be let alone and allowed to do as they please. We owe them much, much more than we can ever pay. Yes, the mice folk are a great people, as you will see. It happened long, long ago, when there were very few men and women in the world. The one we call old man, who was young in those days, and the animal folk and the bird folk were greater than our people, because we had not been on earth long, and were not wise. There was much argument among the animals and the birds. You see, the bear, with her claws like sickle moons, wanted to be chief over all that crawled and ran and hopped and swam and flew in the world. But so did the beaver want to be chief, with his shining fur and eyes like coals. Every night they would hold a council and quarrel over it. Beside the bear and beaver, there were other animals, and also birds that thought they had the right to be chief. They couldn't agree, and the quarrelling grew worse as time went on. Fox yelped, saying that the greatest thief should be chosen for his cunning. Beaver said that she could shape the land and water by building, so it should be her. Owl hooted that the wisest one should be the leader. Then Rabbit said, in a small, trembling voice, that the swiftest traveller was the one they wanted. Bear was convinced that it should be the strongest one among them. And so it went on, and on, until they had all become more like enemies than friends, and you could hear them quarrelling from miles away. And that is how Old Man first heard the trouble. He had been away gathering medicine in the high hills when the argument first began, and coming down again into the woodlands, the argument rolled through the ground, up through his soft moccasins, until it reached his very heart. He knew there was discord in the land. It was Rabbit who first came to him to explain what the trouble was, flying on feet as swift as river foam. Old Man ran all the way, following Rabbit to the lodge where the argument had started again. He listened to what each one had to say. It lasted until dawn. He listened to it all, every bit. When it seemed that it wouldn't come to an end, even when the sky was turning from red to pale blue, he said, "Stop!" And they did stop. It was the first time he had spoken, and it startled them. Then he said to them, "I will settle this thing right here and right now, so that there will be no more fighting, ever." He opened his medicine bundle and took from it a small, polished bone. This he held up in the firelight so that they all might see it, and he said, "This will settle the quarrel. You all see this bone in my right hand, don't you?" "Yes," they replied. "Well now, you watch, pay attention. My hands are quick and cunning." Old man began to sing a gambling song and to slip the bone from one hand to the other so rapidly and smoothly that they were all puzzled. Finally, he stopped singing and held out his hands, both shut tight, with his clenched fingers towards the ground. "Which of my hands holds the bone now?" he asked them. Some said it was in the right hand, and others claimed that it was in the left hand. Old man asked the bear to name the hand that held the bone, and the bear did, touching his left fist with one bright claw like a sickle moon. But when old man opened that hand, it was empty. The bone was not there. Then everybody laughed at the bear. Old man smiled a little and began to sing and pass the bone again. "Beaver, you're clever. Tell me, which hand holds the bone this time?" The beaver said, "It's in your right hand. I saw you put it there." Old man opened that hand right before the beaver's eyes, but the bone wasn't there, and again everybody laughed, especially the bear. "Now you see," said Old Man, "that this is not so easy as it looks, but I'm going to teach you all to play the game. And when you've all learned it, you must play it until you find out who is the cleverest at playing. Whoever that is shall be chief, forever." The animals with hoofs and wings thought this preposterous, and said that Old Man had no wisdom. Some of the animals were awkward and said they didn't care much who was chief. But most of them learned to play pretty well. Then it came down to the final few players. Bear and Beaver played, but the Beaver beat Bear easily. Finally, the Buffalo beat the Beaver and started to play with the Mouse. Of course, Mouse had very small hands that Buffalo, with her eyes halfway as high as the sky, could barely see. And Mouse was quicker than Buffalo, much quicker, to see the bone moving in Buffalo's hands. The Buffalo tried hard, for he didn't want the Mouse to be chief, but it didn't do him any good, and the Mouse won in the end. It was a fair game, and the Mouse was chief under the agreement. He looked quite small among the rest, but he walked right out to the center of the council and said, "Listen, what is mine to keep is also mine to give away. I'm too small to be your chief, and I know it. You all fight too much, and I want to live in peace with my family. I know nothing of war. I get my living easily. I don't like to have enemies, and I don't bother much with others. I'm going to give my right to be chief to Old Man's people. They are the ones who made the game and know how to teach it. No, they're not so strong as Bear, but they're strong enough for their own needs. They can build like Beaver. They're not so swift as Rabbit, but they can run fast when they want to. They're cunning like Fox, if not so sly. Perhaps they're not quite so wise as Owl, but they are growing in wisdom, and perhaps one day they'll be wisest of all." And that settled it. That made our people chief forever, and that is why he is greater than the animals and the birds. That is why we never kill the mice folk. Mouse trusted us to do good in the world, using our strengths for good, to protect all the creatures that crawled and ran and hopped and swam and flew in the world. There were many at the council who had their own quiet thoughts about Mouse's decision. The people of Old Man were so new to the world. And though they were clever and quick, they still had so very much to learn. They still have so much to learn. Grandfather sat quietly for a moment while all the children thought about the last words that he spoke. And then he said, "Our people play the same game, even today, see?" And Grandfather took from his medicine bundle a small polished bone. Then he sang, just as old man did so long ago, and he let the children try to guess the hand that held the bone, as the animal people did that fateful night. But like the animals, they always guessed wrong. Laughingly, Grandfather said, "Now go to your beds, and come to see me tomorrow night for another story. Good night."